So on July 9th, there was a preview screening for the upcoming film, there's Best Wishes, the movie, Victini and the Black Hero, as well as Victini and the White Hero. Again, I still don't know how this is going to work, but I'm so excited for it. But Tokyo Hive wrote a bit of an article about it and noted that Ishihara Satomi attended. I'm going to read a little bit from it. Ishihara was deeply moved after seeing the childlike audience shout with energy for the films. She commented, "This is the first time after the earthquake that I saw children screaming with laughter. I am relieved." She also smiled and said, "I love Pikachu, and because of that, my favorite color became yellow." Victini to Kuroki Eiyu Zekrom and Victini to Shiroku Reshiram will be the first two films of a series, and will be released simultaneously. So from that, like, does it mean that the two movies are going to be like the Three in Diamond and Pearl, that were kind of like an arc? Like, because there, I think it was movies 10, 11, and 12 did kind of sequel each other. This could be really interesting. I'm even more excited than before. But back to the real purpose of this podcast. Hi, we are Peekaboo Podcast, the show where we just go through every single episode of Pokemon and give a quick overview and revisit some of our favorite moments. And in this particular episode, revisit all the fail, because this episode, number 16, is just a long sequence of people defying what should be common sense and logic. But then again, being in a crisis such as a sinking ship will kind of do that to you. But when we ended episode 15, the show, or rather the ship, was steadily sinking, and our heroes were on it. And in Japanese, even the narrator was sinking underwater with the ship, just dissolving into bubbles. But when the narrator finishes hamming it up for the camera, there is a non-sunk ship featured, the PM-16, the initials of which stand for Pocket the Monster 16th Episode. Officer Jenny has found the role, and has confirmed that despite our captain's oh-so-reliable method of checking for everyone's safety in the last episode, 5 people are still unaccounted for. And so, a ceremony is held. Jenny drops a bouquet of white roses into the water. Very appropriate. I'm not up on my funeral rituals of the world, but I once heard that white roses are symbolic and placed on the graves of children. Even if that's not the case, it's still a nice gesture. Quick question, who has the job of notifying the families? I've actually been thinking about that for a while now. If there's a section in the Pokédex where you have to fill out your emergency information or your next of kin sort of thing. You know, seeing how many bad things happen to Ash, I wonder if Misty and Brock have had days where they've had to sit down in the room and discuss whether or not they need to call Ash's mother about this one. Whoever has the notify kin duty, that can't be easy. Since none of our party is dead yet, here's hoping that the police department is slow at tracking that sort of information down, because nobody needs an unnecessary heart attack, do they? But this isn't Yu Yu Hakusho. Nobody starts out dead on this show, which brings us to one of the weirder moments in Pokemon that prove that Brock and Misty are bad friends. So Ash is unconscious, and the two of them, along with Pikachu, are trying to wake him up. You know, "Satoshi, Satoshi, can you hear me?" When he comes to, Ash realizes that them are upside down. "No," they respond, "you're the one upside down." When the camera pulls out, we see that the ship actually flipped over, and the floor is now the ceiling. Clearly the furniture was bolted down, and because Ash's jacket is caught between the table and the chair, he's suspended in the air. Of course, when he realizes this, he starts freaking out, comes loose, and falls and lands on Pikachu. Now, if this were my friend in the real world, there were a few things that common sense would have me do. First, I would try to get them down. Failing that, it might have been a good move to where I could catch them if they fell, or at least reach up to help them down when they woke up. And third, when I might have made an attempt to warn them not to move so much at first. You know, hanging precariously. After all, when somebody's blacked out, falling straight to the floor is one of the last things they need, I would think. And yet they don't extend a hand. Fail, Brock and Misty, fail. Instead of calmly telling Ash what has happened, they let him have a nice trippy freak-out moment while I get to ponder the conundrum of, where did all the real-world fish come from? Why, Pokemon, why do you do this to me? But Team Rocket got off easy on a beach somewhere and just taking it chill, Oh, wait, dream sequence. They fell asleep in the kitchen, under the gas ovens. Not a good place to take a nap. They don't take the news so well that the ship is sinking and try to escape by opening up a hole. Not their finest hour, so now the flood spreads a little faster. No one's quite sure where to go. Up, down, wait, the ship's upside down, so down is up. Brock can't quite decide on the best course of action, and Ash morbidly imagines himself drowning. At times like this, I'm really glad they have Misty around. I haven't been able to say that much lately. She's disappointing me. I expected more from my Misty. But at last she's proving her worth and pulling her weight, and sends out Goldeen to find a way out. Goldeen doesn't succeed in that endeavor, but does find Team Rocket. You don't often think of Goldeen as having a lot of personality or character development, but consider this. Goldeen's orders are to search for a way out and bring back something from outside if it can. The first time we were introduced to old Goldeen, it was called out to fight Team Rocket. So now, it sees Team Rocket, enemy to its trainer and all Pokemon, trapped underwater, and it abandons the direct order from Misty and saves lives. That's something. Go, Goldeen! Of course, nobody's really happy to see each other, due to the fact that the whole of the Team organization tried to steal all their Pokemon in the last episode, and JJ and Meowth have never been good at quitting while they're ahead. All the boys, Ash, Brock, and James, and Jesse, get ready for battle, but with all the extra weight, the ship starts tilting like a teeter-totter. Ash tries to balance it out by getting all the Pokemon on one side, humans on the other, though I can't imagine coughing makes much difference either way, and it doesn't work, since Geodude is the most likely culprit. Misty instigates a forced ceasefire, and orders everyone to put away their Pokemon. Ash and Brock reluctantly agree, Team Rocket more so. But they do, the ship balances, and Misty again tries to keep an eye on not quarreling, which is ironic because that's usually what she's all about. And again, everyone who's not Misty, human and Pokemon alike, is not thrilled with the idea. But eventually they see reason and shake hands, a temporary truce. Ash and Jesse make it very clear that all is not forgiven. Rock and James are trying to battle over who has the stronger grip, and Pikachu shocks Meowth on accident. He gets scolded. So the truce is formed. Now what? No fear, Misty built the St. Anne. What? Oh, model. But she was apparently about as hardcore as some Trekkies when she put that thing together, because she's got the layout memorized. And thus begins the journey to the hull of the ship, and a long parody of the Poseidon Adventure. But isn't it interesting, just the idea of Ash and Team Rocket working together? I love the episodes where it happens. It's kind of a rare occurrence, really. But I really don't think that he hates them. I think, obviously, Ash can't stand for the things that Team Rocket does. It goes against everything Ash is. But when it comes to Jesse and James, I almost think he's spent enough time with them, and he's gotten to know their personalities as individuals enough that I think they could be friends if they, you know, decide, you know what, we're not going to be on the side of evil anymore.
But I do like opportunities that they have to work together as a team and sometimes even be silly together.
But, you know, Ash has fought side by side with these guys. He's dressed up as a girl in front of them. He's dressed up like fruit with them. He's fought for the causes of good and defeat.
Like, fought head to head and side by side. You gotta have a bit of a bond after doing that. And, you know, just recently in Best Wishes, Ash was right there saving Team Rocket's life in the haunted mansion when they nearly got taken off to the spirit world. Great episode.
Back to the drama. They're still running for the screw room or wherever Misty thinks they can break through the hull more easily.
But it's interrupted by the burning flames of Dante's Inferno. The stairs they need to get to the room where Misty thinks they can break out from are broken, and with all that fire, Jesse and James are ready to toss in the towel right there. Such wimps. In English, James actually calls her Jessica.
Misty takes charge of the rescue expedition and tells them not to give up. In Japanese, because she's not dying in a place like this. Well, if that's all it takes to get out of a dangerous situation, I'm comforted. Meanwhile, Ash is going for the extra brain power and asks Pikachu to shock him so that he can get an idea.
This, my friend, is a sign that you've been fried one too many times by your electric Pokemon. Considering how often Ash gets shocked by accident, he shouldn't be looking for it on purpose. One day he's going to find out all the unnecessary exposure to electricity has given him Parkinson's or Tourette's, brain damage. Pikachu thinks this is a great idea and is all, "Sure, I'll help you out." I wonder if he realizes that humans do pain differently. Like, you can't just rush them to the Pokemon Center when things go wrong and expect a full recovery. Fainting also is not such a good thing for us. Electricity does not solve all of Ash's problems, I'm sorry to say, kiddo. But Ash does get the brainwave he asks for, and I'm picturing all of the little children who watched this, then promptly went and stuck their fingers in an outlet so that they could do their math homework. Well, heck, I have a midterm coming up, so maybe I should... No. But Ash calls out Fushigidane, or Bulbasaur, and uses the vines to make a sort of rope bridge. For an idea that was thought up while undergoing electroshock therapy, it's a pretty decent solution. James is afraid of heights and refuses to cross, so just has to slap him around a bit while Team Twerp crosses. And in Japanese, there's a bit of a cute little running gag where Kojiro makes Musashi promise not to abandon him, and she promises not to. In a weird, comforting tone we don't usually get from her, and then Satoshi says he's going to abandon them both if they don't hurry. Weird thing, though, we cut to a commercial break, Twerps on one side, Rockets on the other. But when we come back, James has crossed and Team Rocket is with the kids. We never got to see James's act of overcoming his fears. And of course, after the commercial, Satoshi questions, why are they all just standing around? It's called a dramatic moment, Mr. Character. You have them all the time. But having made it across, Charmander uses his blowtorch attack. I think it's a flamethrower, but it works and it busts open the hull. Freedom is nigh! Everyone ropes themselves to a water Pokemon, Brock borrowing Misty's Starmie, but Team Rocket is at a loss. Oh wait, James bought that Magikarp, right? His moment of glory, and boy does he milk that for all it's worth. Except, turns out Magikarp can't swim all that well. Ash, Brock, and Misty are focused on their own situation, and Brock suggests a similar Noah's Ark move like Misty did back at the boat. So Ash sends out Pidgeotto. And isn't it weird how all the Pokemon have this homing device set for Team Rocket? Pidgeotto brings the gang back to where the kids are resting on the raft, and the kids think Team Rocket are all dead. They look it. Nobody thought to check for a pulse? Luckily, Team Rocket wakes up before anyone can give them a burial at sea. Zombies! Ha! Nope, Team Rocket is not dead. Not yet, but they are on their last legs. Pikachu expresses disappointment when Meowth makes it back to the raft instead of drowning. Quite visibly, he snaps his fingers and looks kind of angry. What the heck, Pikachu? I knew you were secretly a jerk. Hanging out with Ash is going to do nothing but good for you. They spend the night on the raft, and the next day, everyone is hungry. Hungry enough to consider eating the Magikarp that's flopping around conspicuously. Even though they all stuffed their faces on the boat, it still wasn't enough for this. Finally, Meowth can't take it and goes cannibal. But Magikarp are good for eating, just skin, bones, scale, cartilage, despite appearances. James promptly disowns it and kicks it off the raft. And Magikarp has had about enough of this crap. I'm sure it's been thinking all along, one day I'll evolve and kill you all. Which is exactly what it does. It evolves, calls its friends, and proceeds to dragon rage the snot out of everything in the vicinity. Caught in the whirlwind, everyone is pulled apart and flung to who knows where. What will happen? Who knows, but it says, Mada Mada Suzuku, to be continued. And I guess our lesson of the day is, if you're in a large crisis such as a sinking ship, call Misty. If you have to pick one person to be stuck with, get her, because she really was the only person with anything resembling intelligence in this episode. And you know, granted, the bar was not set high, but it seems that Team Rocket are no good in a crisis, and Ash and Brock really weren't all that much better. But we're going to read some listener mail before we close it out today. We had another comment on the last episode, episode 15, from Jordan, again, who says, I always enjoy this episode. There are many important things introduced in this episode, the main two being the introduction of Giovanni and the introduction of the Team Rocket as an organization. It's about time the anime showcased Team Rocket as the evil team it really is. I'm glad that Team Rocket was shown in a way that was not just Jesse, James, and Meowth, not that I have anything against them. I also like how they went with a mysterious introduction to Giovanni, shadowing his famous voice. Trading Pokemon was another important feature showcased in this episode. I agree with your thoughts on the Trash and Gentleman. They hardly even know each other, and it seemed like a quick and rash decision to make. This trade never sat well with me, but it never constantly bothered me, because it wasn't permanent. However, in hindsight, and now being able to compare this trade to Ash's trade with Dawn, I feel that this did a great job of showing how inexperienced and naive Ash was in the early days of his journey. Now we can see the substantial growth that Ash has made on his journey when we look at his trade with Dawn, other more recent episodes. I also want to point out that 4Kids neglected to change the name of the boat. They kept the Japanese name, Saint Anne, instead of using the English name, SS Anne. However, this error ultimately ended up being beneficial to continuity, because in a later episode of Pokemon Chronicles, Richie is seen riding a boat called the SS Anne. Or if 4Kids had named the boat Ash, Misty, and Brock rode on, the SS Anne. Anyway, sorry for the long comment. I really enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work. Hey, no problems with long comments here. And I completely forgot about Pokemon Chronicles, oh my gosh. But yeah, it would have caused a bit of trouble if Richie had been riding a boat that had previously sunk. Although, who is this Anne in the Pokemon world, and why do people keep naming boats after her? But that we are going to close out. Thank you so much for visiting and commenting and listening, everybody. If you'd like to keep up with the podcast or comment yourself, you can do so several ways. First, you can visit us at iTunes. We are called Pikapi, and you can subscribe or comment or rate there. You can also follow our blog, www.pikapipodcast.blogspot.com. You can comment there or visit old episodes. And you can also find links to our show notes, which are hosted at Videojug, videojugpages.com/sites/384. And that's where you can find links to the Tokyo Hive article I was talking about in the opening section. You can find screen caps and other fun things there, and the show notes as well. But however you choose to find us, stay with us, comment, or listen, thank you for all that you do. This has been the podcast. Gotta catch them all, everybody.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. Train them is my call.